Firstly, Rajiv, thank you so much for doing this episode. Really, really appreciate you doing this episode. Now, before we start, Rajiv, just wanted to check, how has your day been so far?
It's been quite hectic. Still in office, working late, just winded up my work and then recording this podcast now.
And how is 2024 so far as work is concerned?
I think, for me, it is like getting back into fitness. I would name year 2022 as like year of operations for me, just recovering from all the injuries that I had. Then again, spent 2023, half of it on recovery. And now it's like getting back into fitness.
Listen, man, you're an absolute beast. I see you're a tough mudder, Spartan race, Dakar, World Championship events. So, really curious to talk to you. So thank you so much for doing this. Now, Rajiv, we share the same birth date, and more importantly, our name is spelled the same as well. And
Yes.
everyone from UAE definitely knows who you are. But for our international audience, which there are quite a lot recently, can you give us a brief history about yourself and how did you move to Dubai and what is it that you're doing in Dubai?
I'm Rajiv. So I work as a health and safety professional, responsible for almost 4,000 plus employees and 90,000 students that travel in
Damn.
the school buses daily. I'm originally from India, but born in Dubai. So I've studied
Okay.
here till 8th standard and then went back to India for my studies. That's where I got into boxing for, a couple of years. And then came back to Dubai, back for work.
Oh, and are you still practicing boxing by any chance?
Sometimes boxing, sometimes MMA, but not too regular now. Like it was before 2022, I used to do that.
Oh, okay, because recently there was Tough Mudder Infinity in Saudi Arabia, and right now I'm not sure if in the world of boxing, Saudi Arabia is literally the home of boxing, and in
Yes.
heavyweight boxing there's quite a lot of events taken up. So really curious. I didn't know that you were into boxing as well, man. And that's one of the reasons why, if you look at you can tell by your shoulders, you're heavily into boxing as well, right?
I was there in boxing for a couple of years, like almost 3 years into boxing.
Oh, that's absolutely wicked. Now, Rajiv, can you tell our listeners, how did you find out about obstacle course racing? And then let's talk about, the different obstacle course races that you have done.
I think it's somewhere around 2018. I was going through some tough times, and with a couple of friends, I thought, I've heard about Spartan, I've heard about Tough Mudder. And we shortlisted on Tough Mudder to do the first event. Fortunately, I got an opportunity to volunteer for the Spartan races. So it was in Hatta, 2018. And I volunteered for that event. And that was the only event where a volunteer was allowed to race.
Oh, excellent.
So I don't think you must have ever heard of any Spartan event where you volunteer and you race on the same day. But that was the only event where you could have volunteered and done a race. So we volunteered the whole day and we got the last slot to run. So it's actually preparing for the Tough Mudder, but got an opportunity to work, to race for Spartan. And when I was volunteering, I was seeing all these people with this black and yellow shirts. I didn't know what this group was called, and it was very inspiring. And I saw these people actually inspiring others to complete the obstacle. It's just not the community, but also the volunteers there cheering. And that's what drove me through this obstacle course racing. And from there, it was no looking back. That was my passion.
And can you tell our international audience what that black and yellow was representing in the past?
OCR Nation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that used to be one of the biggest, obstacle course race, definitely from the Middle East. And now we have different group communities as well. So thank you so much, for giving information about that. Now, am I right in saying, Rajiv, that that event was the North African and Middle East Championship, the one in Hatta? The one that you volunteered and did the race
No,
as
I
well?
don't think it was the Middle East Championship, but it was just a normal event.
Okay.
Yeah, the 5K, 10K race.
Okay, excellent. Now, fast forward to 2024, Rajiv. Did you ever think that the United Arab Emirates would be a place where Spartan World Championship is being held consecutively for the past few years? And last week, we also had Tough Mudder Infinity, which had the highest payout for athletes in the OCR history. Did you ever anticipate back then that the United Arab Emirates and the Middle East might be taking obstacle course race to another heights?
Like UAE is always known to do things differently. When 2017 you had this Dubai Fitness Challenge coming in, you knew that they were serious about you know, getting various foods, getting people healthy, and also encouraging a healthy lifestyle. I may not have thought of obstacle course racing to the extent to where it is right now and the success that it has, and you know, UAE having the world championship here, but I knew they were heading to the right direction.
Yeah, especially when you talk about the Dubai government and the Dubai Sports Council, they're definitely very supportive, isn't it? I really am not sure what the other countries are like. And one thing which I can proudly say, especially during the COVID-19 era, while the other countries were focusing on lockdown, Dubai as a city was focusing on people being healthy. And we still had the 30 minutes of workout, right, during that time.
Yeah, and yeah, you also had curfew times. Like, you know, you like,
yeah,
for me personally, I would do that. I knew the curfew time was at 7, so I would get out at 6, do my run, then go back. You know, so and mostly, you know, it's how they actually went ahead and fought COVID, you could say that way, made it safer for people to be there, promoted those vaccinations, and you know, we had access to the outside world faster than any other place.
Absolutely. And right now, you know, I'm very much involved in politics, especially US politics, and I'm noticing a lot of the international politics, they're actually talking about great things regarding Dubai and UAE as well. So, you know, kudos to Dubai, what they're doing. Now, Rajiv, before we move on to how you approach your race, you briefly mentioned about the very first race that you did, but what were your thoughts and expectations from what you would consider your actual first race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first obstacle course race happened by chance, you could say, you know, where I got to, you know, this race. And I was happy with the way that I was performing, but I wasn't aware of the different obstacles that were there. So you were just volunteer and you didn't think about the event yet. And you were training specifically for Tough Mudder, which is having a different obstacle than you compare to Spartan. And what I got to do is realize during that first race is that I was better at obstacle and I had to work on my running. Which is, and yeah, when you talk about running, you know, like back then, I hated running. So I generally come from the bodybuilding or boxing kind of background. And running is something which I never was interested in. And from 2018, that's what I was been working on. I had my last half marathon last week, the Rasa Khema one. And I did my last half marathon just without any obstacle, was around 2020. And the time that I had, I got my personal best this time. I had my personal best by 25 minutes.
25 minutes, that's absolutely
massive. Yeah, I could
cut down,
shell down 25 minutes.
That is absolutely massive. I mean, I'm still working on my personal best. And let's see how, you know, running is going on. Now, you also do running for HYROX as well. And I do have a few questions regarding HYROX-related events as well. Now, Rajiv, regarding obstacle course race, can you tell us about your training plan? What is it that you do, let's say, a few months before the race, a few weeks before the race, and during the actual day? What is it that you do? And is there something that you want listeners to replicate as well?
Yeah, I mean, see, the most important thing is you need to understand your body before anything else, you know, your schedule and how do you fix your workout around the schedule. Now, when I do a certain event, like, you know, a Spartan event is completely different from an HYROX based event. You know, if I'm training for Tough Mudder, it is going to be different from how I train for HYROX. So the difference here is you're continuously working out in a HYROX event. You're breathing, you need to keep your heart rate under control. Whereas when you're training for a Spartan, you also have to train various obstacles. You know, you don't want to fail an obstacle kind of thing. So there you're training more on your stations. Here you're training more on your obstacles. And that's the key difference. And the endurance part of it, you're running 8 kilometers. During my training, I decide what is going to be my average pace during the entire HYROX event. And then also plan how much time I'm going to be taking for each of the stations. And then my training for that particular event, like if you said for 2 months before, now I'm going to do an HYROX event in Doha.
Yeah.
So I start my preparation from March onwards for 2 months. And it is only going to be specific to HYROX. You know, what's going to keep me most strength? I'll identify my weakness, work on those weaknesses, work on my running. And it's specific to HYROX. So there'll be no obstacle course training that I would be doing during this tenure. When I come closer, so the mistakes that I used to do earlier was not take enough rest. That could be because of your work schedule, and I've just been example, when I did the Rack Marathon, I slept for 3 hours, and that's not a recommendation that you do, but still went to achieve my personal best during that event. What I want people to do is also focus, based on what age you are, keep that in mind. Over the past few months, I've included a lot of mobility work, which I used to ignore in the past. You train your endurance, you train your strength, but then you ignore your mobility. So it's a mix of all of those now.
Oh, that's absolutely excellent. And I'm pretty much sure, some of the listeners will definitely go and try to replicate it. Now, you briefly mentioned about, that you just had 3 hours worth of sleep. But what about after the event? Is there any routine that you do, let's say, post an event? Let's say stretches or proper
Yeah,
sleep or.
so I'm into more of this Ayurvedic massages also too. So
Okay.
that part of the recovery, I do a lot of stretching. And then just focus on rest. And for the following day, what I'll do is a small recovery run of 2 to 3 kilometers.
Oh, excellent. And
And
nowadays, we have these smartwatches as well. They guide us in terms of, how many hours to recover and how many what kind of stretches to do as well. Back in the day, and this is before the obstacle goes race era, we didn't have YouTube videos as well. So
Yeah.
people used to just, let's say, maybe listen to radio stations or podcasts, maybe magazines, and that's how they should probably get the recovery information, isn't it? Now, Rajiv, you were actively part of several groups. Now, we briefly touched base on OCR Nation. There's one of the biggest groups right now called as OCR Empire and Extreme Endurance as well, which I think you're definitely a part of. Now, to our international audience, can you tell them the significance and the importance of these groups?
When we came from the Dubai Fitness Challenge and seeing in UAE, that's one, the government encourages you. And then the second thing is that you have so many communities out here to support people to live a healthy lifestyle. For me, the change, from volunteering a race to having the black band for your Spartan races to move to a red band, the difference started with OCR Empire for me. I joined this group, learned a lot about obstacle. If you tell, I come from the strength, bodybuilding kind of background, boxing, but I would use mostly my strength to do an obstacle, rather than using technique to use the obstacle. So that's where the difference comes in, right? I can go, just showing off my power and doing an obstacle, or rather do it with technique, save that energy for your run. So that's one thing that I learned from the community. Is then the second thing is how they encourage you. So it's quite I would put it in a way with the people that you surround with, you perform that way. So when you see
Absolutely.
that, so
Yeah.
you wanted to say something.
No, I was just saying, what you're saying is absolutely spot on because OCR Empire, they have world champions over there, right? They have Richard Hynek is often there. They have Sergey, who's, slowly trying to become the greatest of all time. His wife, Alicia Petrova, who absolutely smashed the top model infinity. So what you're saying is absolutely spot on and right. If you're in that environment, I'm definitely sure it helps with how you train as well.
And then and you kind of get exposure to different activities there. If you're just doing obstacle course racing, you're also involved into community runs with them, which is building up your run thing. And along with that, I started doing the 5K, the Spartan races, then got into the Super, the Beast, improvised my obstacle with them. And after that, I've joined a group called as Extreme Endurance.
Yes.
So the this is where I actually found my mentor, Rob. So the group is not just about rucking, but it's also about extreme endurance event where we do an event more than 3 to 4 hours, training for the hurricane heat in the Dubai. He's the one who also went out to be a captain for those events. And what you also, those communities, like I told you, it's just about how you surround yourself with those people. When you are in between, there's a general notion is like if you look like a bodybuilder or you have 6-pack abs, you're healthy. And when I went first into rucking, and I was like, oh, this guy is little on the healthier side, and I'll be able to catch him up on the mountains. It doesn't work that way. And I was far away from those guys. It's about how you train your heart, at what level you can train, how you maintain it. It's never about your appearances.
True.
And then what else you learn from this community is the mental strength. one, you know, your resilience, because you put yourself through this extreme endurance event, your body reacts completely differently. You know, I'll give you an event, like you are into a lot of kayaking or paddle boats, right?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%, yeah.
So we had one of this extreme endurance event where you had to do some amount of, you know, some distance in land, some distance in sand, some distance in water. You know, so if it's water, I had a kayak event, and say we had to do 10 kilometers total for that event. Like, we have challenges, like monthly challenges. And just to put that in perspective, we had 160 kilometers to compete in land. So you run, you rock, you know, a certain amount of rocking, and this water was, I can't swim. It's a secret. Okay, so for me, then, you know, the first time you enter the kayak, it's frightening, but you have your life jacket in, and I went in, and you are with this group of people, so you're not scared of water, you know, there's someone around them. So I got confidence with, you know, kayaking. I did around six to, so we ended up doing almost three sessions, you know, each session would be probably around 3 kilometers. And the last session, which I had, I've done 9 kilometers. I have 1 kilometer to go. So I went all by myself. Okay, now this is in summer. Okay, somewhere around July. Yeah. And you can imagine the heat in July. Yeah. Right? And I would put the time approximately around 10:30.
10:30 in the morning. That's absolutely wild temperature. Yeah.
And that's why I call it like that extreme endurance kind of event. And all of this, guys, they go to the show, you know, to keep their kayak. And I'm like, no, I have 1 more kilometer. I don't want to come back again and do, you know, this event just for that. So, like, I go alone, go in the middle of the sea, and my row breaks into half.
Oh, man, that's scary, and isn't it?
It's scary, right? Like, and that's where this resilience comes into place. You know, I was like, first, I panic because I can't swim, you know, and I'm in the middle of the sea, and I can see the shore far away, and I'm like, how do I go there? I have half of this row, which is already in the sea, and I can't find it. And I have to paddle it with just one half part of it. And you know how difficult it gets just moving it, right?
Especially with the waves moving in one direction. And
yeah. And somehow I thought, oh, I can't go back to the place where I have to actually keep the, you know, kayak, or just return the kayak. And I was like, I don't know what to do now. I find the shore. You know, there's beach lines for people, you know, you have to just swim to a certain level. And I reached there, and you can't get your kayak to the next side because of the rope.
Very much true, yeah.
So I end up, I'm like, okay, now Rajiv, there's only the other way that you can do is like just follow the line.
Okay, you know? So you went horizontally.
Yeah, horizontally to the line. And then when I go to the line, I'm like, it's like near the kite beach kind of thing. And there are certain areas which are private. You can't just go to the other side.
Yes. Yeah.
So I somehow just go into a private land, and I put up the kayak there with the half row, and then have the other challenge. I have to still go back to my place, you know, where all my friends are waiting and where you return. And by then it was somewhere around 11:10.
And if I'm not mistaken, you didn't have your mobile phone with you that time as well.
I didn't. I didn't. Okay. And I was barefoot.
Okay.
So somehow I had to come to the other side because I have to reach the land. And then go all the way back to the jogging track, and then go to this place. Okay, and you can imagine at 11:10 how bad the heat is, and think of the floor now, the concrete flooring and the, you know, the running track. So I had to you know, get burned, like, and then go all the way. And by then, this team had sent a rescue boat.
Oh man! And so, I think for our international audience, the temperature that you're talking about would be around 40 degrees to 45 degrees Celsius, in which is approximately 120 to 130 degrees Fahrenheit. Just for so that the international audience get an idea of what he's talking about, how brutal it was. Yeah.
And then coming back to, you know, the how the community is really helpful is with Rob. I build up my endurance for doing curriculum heat easily. But in the meantime, while we did all these rocking events, it was building up a momentum for me to, you know, even think of participating in a Kogi. Now, why a Kogi? You know, like, I never thought I could do a Kogi. I didn't think I was prepared. Though Rob thought that, you know, there are some few members from the extreme endurance team who could go up and sign up for a Kogi. And Rob told me that, okay, he's signing up for Bowie. And back then I thought, oh, maybe I can give it an attempt. And if you have seen all the previous Agogi events, it would have an element of swimming into it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Okay.
So an event before the one which we had in Liver, you had to go from a mountain, like at the top of the cliff, and then jump into the sea and then swim for 1 kilometer. And, you know, for a non-swimmer, that's pretty strange.
Yeah.
And then when I came to know about this event, and Rob ultimately went out to be one of the captains for those events. And we had one of the person who signed up for it. And he was a 54-year-old, you know, member from the team. And I was like, that's motivating. If he can do it, probably I can do it. You know, and then I spoke to Rob and he was like, I think Rajiv, you're ready for the event. You can sign up. And I was like, this is an opportunity. I may not get this opportunity where there may be no element of swimming.
True.
I'm accustomed to the heat in UAE, you know, and probably I would be able to successfully complete the event. So,
and what regarding Agogi, I think our listeners should know that you didn't do a regular Agogi. You did 60 hours of Agogi in the most brutal conditions.
Conditions, yeah.
Because if you look at Liver, and what I'm really liking, Rajiv, what you're saying is, you had a problem that you faced in your kayaking experience, but looks like you're crazy enough and that has only motivated you.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, no to that experience. So absolutely, definitely inspirational and motivational, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, and see, and that's what it does. Like, see, like I told you, you know, this the obstacle course facing started for me, but then, I would say a challenging phase in my life, you know, where you had to be mentally more resilient. And like I told you, it was somewhere around 2018 where it started off, right? And I started getting into this obstacle course racing and the community, especially, you know, when you are, I told you, it's more about the surrounding that you are in and, you know, the and with the events that you do, like with OCR Empire, I was able to be better at what I was doing, you know, encouraged with a lot of positive people around. With extreme endurance, it was, you know, physically building myself and also the mental resilience by doing this extreme endurance event, which ultimately you don't know where you're prepared for. You're prepared to take up any challenge.
True.
That's the difference that it creates. And not only that, like with extreme endurance, especially with having Rob as the, you know, the founding member and, you know, the mentor for me, you would learn about other parts about life. Like I have a dream board, which is a, you know, something which I picked up from Rob, where I have my physical goals, my financial goals, and all planned for the year, and then work towards it. Like when you say what you do for the races, I may have one goal for the year that I want to achieve, and then there are all these small goals, like maybe for Hyrox, so 3 months training for so that's in terms of the community, and there are various communities here, and you could be of part of any community. This just gives you that initial start. Like if anyone in UAE is listening to this, I would say, if you're planning to get into fitness, just get into one of the communities in UAE.
Absolutely, there are so many. There's Desert Shield Fitness, there's At the Park, there's Spirit Park Level, which is, you know, one of the badass guys as well. Now, regarding extreme endurance, you know, Rajiv, I do have a very specific question. Now, I've seen you guys do some of the most insane, sick and brutal workouts, but everyone in the group, including you, Rob, Haytham, even Prince, you guys have the most beautiful smile. You're always happy and very approachable. Where does that thing come from?
I think it's just infectious about the smile that when you do this event, like the theme is that you endure tough things. Like you're not looking for an easy fix. It's about teamwork. Like I think the fundamental of doing any of the challenges that we do, it's not who wins. Like, you know, when we have this extreme endurance event, we have like 3 or 4 teams doing a particular challenge. But it's not about who comes to the finish line. It's about how you are, like, if you just think about the hurricane heat concept, you know, it's a lot of people, different team members, like you have 160 people, you think that you're an individual team or you think you're an individual, but at the end of it, you're all one big team of 160 members. You know, and that just spreads. So you're helping each other to face challenge and then compete it together.
Now, regarding Agogi, Rino Rajiv, what was the overall experience like? Can you tell our listeners, even for myself, because I don't know what Agogi is, what was the Agogi? How was the event spread out in Liva in particular?
Just before we get into the movie part, it's like, when I understand seeing some of the important things that we do, like when you are in community, you learn from people who are a lot better than you. It's a learning platform. I wasn't very specific about my gears before I was into this event. So with extreme endurance, like I told you before, I signed up for it. It's just like to practice it. I would wear the gear. We would go to Alputra, roll over with the gear just to see there's no leaks. You have, and then understand that okay, you have the right gear or not to do this particular event. So when you do a bogey, my first stage starts with preparing with the right gear that you have. You don't want to. I did slight mistakes of making my bag heavier because you're going there for 60 hours. It's no easy task, and especially in a brutal environment like Lima, where there are a lot of uphills, and you carrying a bag if it roughly weighs more than 15 kilos, you're putting yourself in trouble. I started with having the right gear, testing my gears, and ensuring that everything is exactly what I planned for. And your race starts exactly by having the right amount of gear and the right gear. So when you go to the hotel, so the first day you check into the hotel. Okay, the first step is that they check whether you have every gear that Spartan has mentioned. If you don't have the right gear, you're disqualified.
Oh, so that is the first step.
So that's the first step. So you need to ensure that you have the right gear and you're carrying everything that is set as mandatory. Same, have you participated in any hurricane heat event only?
No, not yet. I haven't done any hurricane heat at all
But
so
at
far.
least in the hurricane heat, if there is something that you don't have a mandatory gear, then the entire group suffers, right? So everyone does a synchronized burpee or something like that, but still let off. But in a bogey, it's like you're surviving for 60 hours, right? No sleep. Minimum amount of food, or you can say no food kind of thing. So it has three elements to it. So after each 24 hours you complete, the first stage is called to prepare. Then the second day is called to succeed. Sorry, to endure. And the third is succeed. Okay, so the day one, you've heard about MTV roadies, like it's, for the Indian audience, you must have heard about MTV roadies, right?
I've definitely heard that one, yeah.
So they check
And
the
if I'm
gear.
not mistaken, the host name is Rajiv as well for MTV Roadies. One of the
Yeah,
hosts, his name is Rajiv as well.
and Ranveer
Ranveer, yeah.
Rajiv, it's a lot of Rajivs, right? It's just like this. So it's like you could say like a TV event. So they check your gear, they send you back to the hotel, and they'll be like, "We'll knock your door at any time, and then you should just come down in 15 minutes." So you don't know whether you should sleep, you should be awake, if you don't get up. Okay, so they come somewhere around 2:30. They knock our doors and they're like, "In 15 minutes, we want you down." And I was like, "Okay." We all rush down with all our gears. You're just sleeping in the same gear. You go down and they blindfold you, put you
Oh
up in a
man.
bus. Okay, and
Oh,
then
okay.
so now you're when you're in the hotel, you're in the central of Abu Dhabi.
And in the middle of the desert.
So and they're transporting you in to middle of the desert. So you're blindfolded, you don't know where you're going. Okay,
This
and
is
you're in the
not
bus.
Squid Games, isn't it? I'm not sure if you've watched Squid Games.
I did watch Squid Game.
Something similar to that, isn't it?
You could put it that way, right? And you go and you're blindfolded, they get you out of the bus and they put you in teams. So they make you have team captains who will select. They don't know each other, right? We're all blindfolded and we're waiting which captain is going to select us. And then I ended up in Team Red. Okay. And what a fantastic members that I had. You had Tachi, who has done probably five bogeys. She's done a death race. I don't know who's like 60 plus years, but so strong. And a couple of members who have done a bogey previously. It's like, oh man, I'm the only one who's never done an Agogi.
And these are international audiences, right? International audiences.
All international athletes. So,
Oh,
say for
excellent, yeah.
Bruy, we had somewhere around like 57 athletes who did this Spartan Agogi, Lima one. And probably only by the end, there were 46 who completed them. And when you say
See,
international athletes, they are the best. Like, if I said someone has done four Agogis, and it could be in different temperature. Now they're doing this in the hot temperature of UAE. and you know, when we did it somewhere around December, November end,
yeah.
And you would like be extremely hot during the daytime and extremely cold during the night. You know how the
there's absolutely no shade as well, right? During the daytime.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Rajiv, the only thing that we used to find out is, you know, we used to have this chat group. And the only thing we used to find out is that, you know, X number of people or X person has gone out of Agogi. But we also used to find out that Rajiv is the guy who is still competing or still inside. That is the only thing, you know. So, you know, kudos for that thing, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite challenging. Like I told you, day one, you know, it was a struggle. And later on, you're getting the gears, right? And for me, it's, you could say I don't come from a complete athlete background. But I love sports, you know, so I have a very busy daytime schedule. Doing this podcast, I just came 5 minutes off for my work and then, you know, flying right to the podcast. And to make time to test your gears, to prepare for this event, and it's a lot of volume that you require to be trained. And for me, ducking was one of the foundations which why I could do the Agogi event. Now, day one was just like walking in the desert, you know, with your team completing the events, and it's quite challenging when you have this 15 kg bag with you, and then an Agogi is a very beautiful concept to probably get you more to the country where you're racing to understand the culture, you know. So for us now, we were like Bedouins. So for the international audience, Bedouins are the original citizens of UAE, you could say, who lived in the desert and made a living, you know, staying from the desert. Now, how they would navigate in the desert? It would be through the stars, right? We didn't have GPS. You're not having GPS. You're just having maps. And then you got to figure out how do you add compass to go to a location.
Oh, so you weren't allowed smartwatches as well?
No, we're not allowed smartwatches.
Oh, excellent. I didn't know these things. Yeah, interesting.
So,
yeah.
Interesting, right? You need someone in your team. And it's all about teamwork and then your trust in that team member to help you guide to the right direction. So I had wonderful, like I told you, I had like the best athletes from, and Agogi is not an event where anyone can do it, right? So we had athletes who are best in their game. And it was an honor for me to be participating along with them, you know, and learning from them. Now, during this event, you need someone who understands how the compass works, who understand the direction. You need to understand, like when we did the event in the desert, the you know how the air flows in the desert. So you should know that, okay, now I can run in this track. You know, there's people who understand that better and would be able to perform better in that environment.
True, yeah.
So for me, it was about learning those events and then also understanding the UAE culture better, you know, while doing this. So we had this event where you had minimum water. Okay, so you had to, there were water stations within the map, and you had to fill water from there if you wanted to be hydrated. Okay, it was stored in a tank. So you also had filters. So we had tablets to just clean the water kind of thing. There's no food to this event. Okay, so
entire 60 hours.
There's technically no food that you can carry. We don't carry any energy gels too.
Oh man, yeah.
So generally when you're training for a Spartan race, you know, for a 21K, yeah, you will have your energy gels with you. No energy gels here. Okay. And I told you, it's different teams, right? So every team would come at their own pace to reach their destination for that particular day. Now, fortunately, my team members were very, they were bang on where how they had to navigate through the map. And we were able to reach somewhere around 7 in the evening. We started off somewhere around 6:30 in the morning. 7 in the evening, we were able to reach there. And then the first task was to build the tent. Yeah, and you know how this old Arab big tents are, right? And
yeah.
I had all international athletes. No one had any idea how to fix this. You know, so we struggled a couple of hours, you know, getting the tent up. And then the whole night, you were supposed to guard your tent. And you had some strings attached to your belt. Okay, so you have to ensure that other team members don't gather the string. So you don't sleep the entire night. Now, along with the tent, fortunately, we had a sack of wheat with us. Okay. So say around 2 kgs or 3 kgs of wheat. And you cook in that, and whatever you cook is your food.
That is for the entire group.
Entire group.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So you may, you know, whatever is gets cooked out of the wheat. So is you don't have any other ingredients. So minimum oil, and say for the roti, if everyone can understand that thing, you can't make a proper roti, but it'll be like a thick batter kind of thing. You want to, you know, probably consume that and have energy. You do that. Yeah. So that was the first day. The second day, that's where the whole game changes. Like when you say, like the first day was to prepare, they prepared you with this shorter events. It was still a long hike, challenging to the body. And if you're not used to it, like I told you, trucking was a foundation for me. We would have around 15 to 20 kgs of bag and train in Shevka Mountains. So yeah, for people in, for the international audience, it is just industrial, and for the UAE audience, if you want to train in mountains, then tell the people in UAE go to Shevka. You know, so yeah. We would train this. Yeah. And in addition, we used to train a lot in Malhiha Desert, the fossil rock. You know? So just, I think just 15 minutes before you go to Shevka. So that formed the basis. And the first day is just about hiking with the rock, right? And it's always a fast rocking and at your own pace. So if my team reached at 7, I had teams reaching even at 11:30 to 12:30 at night.
Almost 4 hours late.
Yeah. So imagine them coming in and then they have to set up the tent.
And by the time it's started, almost,
yeah. So it's pretty difficult. So you guard throughout the night and then you get up at again 6 in the morning. The second day was challenging. It is called to endure. Okay. Now, whatever tent they had kept there, you had a team. So like suppose you and my team, me and you carrying around 70 kgs of weight along with your bag, which you have of 15 kgs. And we rucked from 7 in the morning to 6:30 in the evening. So all the
sounds rivers. Brutal, right?
It's brutal.
Yeah. With minimal water as well.
Minimal water. And like I told you, in the map, you would have your water stations, you identify. And then in between, you would have places where you get to taste camel milk. And you're going to be in a thought, should I try it? Is it okay for my stomach? You know, and for people, it's not like a normal event, right? There's no toilet stations. It's everything in the open. Yeah. So you got to figure out how you balance it. How do you stay within the team? And then ensure that you, with the team that you come. And I was like, huh. I finished this big challenge of, you know, having, carrying this extra weight. And I felt strong on the second day. Like day one, I was like dead. You know, day two, I felt much more stronger. Yeah. And this was all from the motivation and strength that comes from the team. And during this time, you get to know more about yourself, you know, how you try to build your resilience. And I was like, yeah, that's what they're going to do in the evening. And it was supposed to be a 12-kilometer hike kind of thing, walk for us. Unfortunately, how the race course was designed, it made it quite difficult for all the athletes to climb a particular dune. It was completely inclined. Right.
That is towards the finish line of the Spartan World Championship. Is it the same one?
No, not the same dunes? One. But something, you could put it something similar, but not at that height. Yeah, but it was still... If it's at an inclined height and you have a 15 kg backpack with you, you're not climbing.
Yeah, right? I mean, we can look at what happened at the Spartan World Championship. There's a teeny tiny incline, and with just a regular sandbag, people are struggling. So I can't imagine, you know, what you're talking about here.
Yeah. And we all attempted to try climbing up in that incline. We all were falling down. And you can imagine after you have those heavy weights coming up, you know, rocking for almost 10 to 12 hours. And then you think, okay, what can happen next? And this is what it is. And it's getting colder now. Like you came from the hot environment. It's evening. It's turned, you know, becoming cold. The temperature is dropping. And you say, now you're stuck. So it was supposed to be originally 12 kilometers of hike, reaching a point where they would rest us for some time. You know, now that's day two. You're completely shattered. And we start. And we end up doing 24 kilometers. Because you can't do the incline now. So you have to go around it. So it just increased the distance for us. And obviously it's very challenging because now you're following the cryptids. Now the cryptids are, they don't tell you, you know, when you have the maps during the daytime, they don't guide you. But now we have to reach a certain distance to reach the next base point, right? So you go this 24 kilometers, and that's where most of the athletes drop down. So
I was just going to ask you, yeah, that's when most of the athletes drop down, isn't it?
Yeah, and for me, it was just like back of the mind, you know, it's like I'm the first Indian to complete a Spartan Overweight.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, yeah.
So I had a word with Tashi, who also manages a lot of the Spartan extreme endurance races in UK. And she was like, Rajiv, if you complete this race, you're going to be the first Indian to complete the Spartan Overweight. And throughout, it was that thing that, you know, I kept playing on my mind. And believe me, like I was so shattered by it, because you have to keep up a certain pace. It's not like you're just completing the event. Like if you're doing a beast event, you do it in 3.5 hours or you do it in 7 hours.
Yeah.
But here you have to stick to a team. You have a particular time frame to reach a particular point, and you have to just keep up the pace. And imagine some people, I mean, the cryptids, they are running there. Like their backpack is not heavy as ours. You know, yeah. They're not as trained as us, but they're doing the same thing. Right? Some of them walk, or you have, the desert moon bikes, which they are placed in and they guide us throughout. But at this time, you know, everyone walking at this same pace and increasing the pace. So you're like in a desert, if you're doing around 9 to 10 pace of walking, it's terrible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's where most of them in the incline, they just dropped off. Like we had many athletes that just quit.
And these are not regular athletes. These are some really good athletes who actually quit.
Yeah. And because it was so tasking for us that time. So for me, it was like I was hallucinating for 4 to 5 hours.
Oh,
you know, like nothing. Now you're with minimum food. You did the whole day one. Now you're completing the day two. That time. And you see, it's completely pitch dark. Only thing that you can see is with your headlamp. Yeah. Okay. So when there's only a certain distance that you can see with your headlamp, right? And after that, I'm like, oh, I can see camels. Like what you see during the daytime. Oh, I can see the finish line. You know, you just hallucinate for 4 to 5 hours. And like I told you, like from the extreme endurance community, we had two cryptids that I knew of, like a dog, and there was Dave.
Okay.
So they would, and that just kept me. Rob has a very different way of encouraging you to, you know, stay. If you don't go, you'll quit now, you know. If you're not going to come within this time frame, you're out of the race. So, you know, you're forced to move. You know, your body does not listen, but it's just your mind forcing you to another step, one more step, and you complete it, right? And Dave, you know, like I could just see him like at a distance, and I'm just trying to catch up with him. And somehow I managed to complete day two. It's extremely cold. And I said, like, you have the right gear, you replace it, you come, and then we energize in the morning, ready for the day three, the final 12 hours of your race. And I was like, and it's never 60, it's like it's always, you know, above that time frame. Now you came from the cold environment. That's like the last day was more of a you have to reach a particular distance. Now everyone's like, I told you, like you had that foundation, understanding the compass, reaching them. Most of them got it wrong. So imagine if I have to reach a particular spot by 3 o'clock, I'm going to, because of all that event. And now here you can't make a mistake. Now here, majority of them were making a mistake of where you had to head to and where you're going. You know, and then the captain had to interrupt in between. So, but it started with a camel race in the morning. And imagine the camels coming in the desert to a place where you are, they were dehydrated.
What I wanted to ask is, Rajiv, on the final day, how many people were actually left? Because if I'm not mistaken, you guys started with 60, is it?
We are close to that, 57. And I think 43 to 45 only completed it. You know, so I told you that, you know, there was a particular athlete, you know, he almost came till the finish line. Okay, like he could probably see the finish line maybe 1.5 kilometer away, but his body just refused to move.
Oh man.
So it's quite challenging to, and it's not just a flat kind of thing. It's quite uphill and then down, uphill and down. And the moment you see an uphill and you're like, not again. Yeah, and with your
And if
backpack.
I'm, and am I right in saying, Rajiv, that Ivana was one of them who actually competed that, and just after a few days did this, she did the Spartan World Championship as well, right?
Yeah, and I think she also got a podium.
Yeah, she's an absolute beast, isn't it?
Yeah, and I also had one more member, Flora,
Oh,
and
yes.
she was also like she I think she also completed the Spartan Gobi and ended up having a podium in the World Championship.
In the age group, if I'm not mistaken, right?
She also has so many wonderful stories. Maybe I can discuss it offline, but amazing. It's for her to share. Hats off to how she competed in a very difficult environment.
You know what I think? If there was, let's say, a TV recording or a video recording, rather, it would have made for a brilliant documentary, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lifetime experience. Like, it teaches you how resilient you are, because I told you day two was extremely difficult. Yeah, and so is day three because of the temperature. I told you there was this world-class athlete who's 60 plus, Donna, and she was going strong till day two. I was like, wow. Well, I was inspired by her. But day three, and she's my team member, we were like 3 hours away from the finish line. And she had to quit
Oh
because,
man.
because of the heat. So, so close, but still far off, right? So,
And am I right in saying, Rajiv, in the near future, if there was some brutal events, knowing you and based on what you're saying, I'm pretty much sure you'll be the first to register for it, right?
I would definitely sign up. Like, if it's in UAE or in the Middle East and doesn't have a water obstacle, then definitely I'm in. That's one thing that I'm focusing on, like maybe in the next 2 to 3 years. Like, I can't swim currently. My focus is to do at least a half Ironman in the near future. So it's about learning an event. It's like overcoming your challenges, which is for me swimming in this case, and then probably excelling at it.
I knowing what you're saying, I'm pretty much sure you would smash it. Now, Rajiv, let's talk a bit about obstacle course race as well, because I've seen you at several Spartan races. We have ran a couple of tough mudders together as well, and we did a Dakar event together as well in Abu Dhabi. And you recently did, Hyrox's events as well. Now, regarding obstacle course race, how many obstacle course races have you done so far?
I think it should be close to around 70 plus. So, just to keep that in record, I have done probably 35 plus Spartan races, and
And
then
you do Hurricane after that as well, right? If I'm not mistaken.
out of the Spartan races, which I told you, the Hurricane Heat and Agogis are not counted. So I've
Yeah.
done multiple Hurricane Heats. I've done Desert Warriors. I've done Tough Mudder. So a lot of obstacle course racing.
And what has been like your most favorite obstacle course race? Let's say if you have to choose between, let's say, Tough Mudder, Spartan Race, Desert Warrior Challenge, and now we also have Warriors of Arabia, which recently had an event last weekend. What would you pick as your favorite obstacle course race?
I enjoy doing Spartan races more because I find the obstacles a little more challenging. Like I told you, I had to go through a shoulder surgery in 2022, and before that, like from 2018, I liked the Hurricane hoist. Like, I enjoy doing it. So there was a time where I could do two bags together. And post my surgery, I told you I'm still in the recovery phase. Now I struggle with the one bag, but I use techniques to get it up. Earlier it was just raw strength to get it up. Now, it's pretty much a struggle. But I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy where the obstacles are more challenging for you. Not something which is easy, but of course you remember one of the Tough Mudder which we did together. And where there's a water obstacle, you remember? We kind of together, we did good together. And my only thing that goes at the back of my mind is, how fast can I go away from it? I'm not in left.
Yeah, I definitely remember. In fact, I might have a video of that as well. Now, Rajiv, I've seen you at Spartan World Championship events as well. Now, according to you, how do these World Championship events compare to, let's say, regional events that we have in the UAE? Let's say the one with Abu Dha Al Watwa that we built did. How do those events compare to, let's say, the events in Khor Fakkan, or let's say at Fujairah, or even Oman that you have done quite a few events?
I mean, see, the World Championship is like it's pretty much how it is organized. First of all, you know what you see in terms of how the obstacles are. I would not say like see everyone puts in their hard work of how the obstacles are to be done, but I think in World Championship there's a little bit more they pay more attention to it. And what you do in the regional events, and there's also
I,
some. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
I just find that, you know, the Hercules hoist during a Spartan World Championship is way too tough, at least for me, because I'm only 5 feet two and I weigh 64 kgs. That's what I think. What are your thoughts about, you know, the weight in particular?
And that's because you know like if even if it's just the bucket carry, you know, and you're doing a regional event, it's not a balanced one. You know, someone may end up getting the lighter ones, and then you know they're very selective about what they pick. You know, and you don't find that when you do the World Championship. It's mostly balanced. You know, even the one you just said, the Hurricane Rest, it's you have the lighter ones, and then you have the heavy ones. You know, so I find it more precise during the World Championship. The courses are more well defined. You know, you don't end up losing your track.
Yeah, true.
So that's the main difference. Otherwise, it's almost a similar thing, but it's just about how much focus and attention goes on ensuring that everything is done right.
Now, Spartan, they are doing the world championship in Al Wadba, and this year might be the third year where they'll be doing it consecutively. Now, based on your experience doing obstacle course race in other parts of the Middle East, is there any recommendation for other sites you can think of where Spartan can probably have the World Championship events?
A similar event like where I particularly trained, like we were discussing about the Fossil Rock and Mylia, right?
Yes.
It has pretty awesome and challenging dunes. You know,
Yeah.
that's one place that I can think of, you know, where they could do the event and of course attract a lot of crowd. Like, you know, when you compare it to Liwa event, it was challenging. So the dunes in Mylia Fossil Rock is equally the same. You know, maybe
And
we don't get that same height of the last obstacle that
true.
you were talking about, but it's a pretty challenging atmosphere. If you look like a more flatter ground, then even Al Qudra should work out. I think we had one event of Spartan in
Yeah.
Qudra, the Marmoon event kind of thing.
Marmoon. They had the Marmoon event, which was a 24-hour trail event. So it was more like a last man standing. And I think we had a couple of Desert Warrior challenge in Al Qudra. So, you know, and for our international audience, you know, they should know what Rajiv is talking about. The event location, rather, called is Melia, which for some odd reason, it is 50% rocks and 50% sands, isn't it? It's the most beautiful place, I think, probably in the entire world as well.
And it's quite challenging also because you know the dunes there, it's like you really have to dig into the sand, so it gets quite challenging.
Now, Rajiv, I've seen you attending so many events, but what makes you special is that when you're attending these events, you don't attend the events alone, but you also attend it with someone special, that is your daughter. So can you tell our listeners a bit about herself? A bit
Yeah,
about her.
so you know, I always wanted my daughter to get into the Spartan races, and she used to join me like you know since she's three. She would always be encouraging and seeing what I do, you know. And not only that, she's always a part of the community. Whenever I go for the 1600 event, she would always be there, try to replicate what I'm doing, you know. And by the time she did four, that's when you start your Spartan races as kids. You know, like when you turn four, you can do your first race. So the first thing when she turned four, she was looking out. Guess what? What would be her first event of Spartan Race? Liver.
Oh man, the
Okay,
most brutal event, right?
the most brutal thing, right? So, and we all went up. We, you know, you stay back that night, and then she had the race. And unfortunately, her race was somewhere around 11:30.
Oh.
And that was one of the most challenging races that I've seen. And I was like, it's 11:30, and we signed up for two races. So you start off with the 800 meters and 1.6. Okay, and I was like, okay, let her try the 800 meter, and then let's see if she's okay. We'll make her do the 1.6. And unfortunately, she had to do the 1.6 one first.
Okay.
So she ended up doing 1.6, which, you know, for a 4-year-old is quite brutal in Lima
Yes.
environment. And then she also ended up doing the another 800 meters.
And you know, when you're talking about the kids event, I very specifically remember I looked at the kids event and I was like, it is brutal as well. It isn't like, you know, a relatively easier trail. It's they're running pretty much the same sort of sands, right?
Yeah, because like I told you, Lima was the most brutal because she's done Vatva after that. She's done the Korfokan event, you know, she's done most of those mountain races. And even in Korfokan, like, you know, she's not happy with just one race. Like, even if it's the same 800 meters, she'll go and do it four times.
Absolutely beast, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what's really like I told you, like when we used to go for this community workout kind of thing, and we do a lot of burpees, we started. So you know, she got into this burpees, and there's one of this extreme endurance event where you had to do 1,000 burpees a month, and she completed that. And then she went, inspired her classmates to do that, and ended up doing burpees with her principal.
That is absolutely wicked, man. That is absolutely beautiful as well to know. Because I have spoken to her and she's very active. And I do remember asking her, you know, which has been your most favorite event? And she kept on saying Lever. And I was like, no, don't tell me the toughest. Tell me your favorite one. And she's like, yeah, that was my favorite one.
And the first race is always the most memorable one, right?
Yeah. And she does quite a lot of Tough Mudder events too, right?
Yeah, she does. Like, whenever there's an opportunity, an event where a kid can be, she's there. You know, like in the first Tough Mudder, you know, like in Tough Mudder, I think the starting age is 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 5.
Oh.
You know, and then I had to go to Duncan and it's like, see, I registered on your website. In one place it says 6 and in one place it says 5. So I was confused. I've registered her, but I can't enroll her for the race. Like, you know, like you can buy the ticket, but you can't assign the ticket in Tough Mudder.
True.
Yeah. So I couldn't assign the ticket to her. I purchased the ticket and then spoke to Duncan and he was good enough to allow her to race. And he was like, okay, you race with her. And then that's how she did the first Tough Mudder.
That's absolutely beautiful, man, because I always see you probably supporting her, but lately I've been seeing that she's supporting you as well. So, you know, probably in the next, let's say, decade's time or so, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if she actually smashes all of your records as well. But what I wanted to ask is, Rajiv, have you noticed any areas where she has excelled and, let's say, in obstacle courses? Have you seen any improvement, let's say, in her running or, let's say, in doing burpees for that matter?
I mean, she is absolutely fantastic in burpees. Like when she started off, you know, one of the events we had this song, Green Sally Up, Green Sally Down. You know, okay. So she would do the burpees on that beat and end up doing around 28, 30 burpees without a stop.
In one go.
One go.
And I do remember watching an Instagram post of yours where you were doing the High Rocks Fit or the PFT. And she was doing that burpees as well, right?
Yeah, and I don't know, like any event, she's like the cynosure of all eyes there. She ends up taking the attention. So, you know, whether it's a Deca event or the High Rocks, she's the star. Like being a Spartan ambassador, I may not be known in the community that much, then how they know my daughter.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And you know, Rajiv, I remember I did an interview with Yancy Kulp. He said, you know, one of the most memorable events for him was, you know, actually doing such events with his father. So, you know, he got a little bit teary when he was saying that. And even I had a conversation with Mark Batras. He is doing a lot of his training session with his son. And, you know, the experience that you're putting is absolutely beautiful and it's definitely going to be extremely positive, both, you know, from a physical point of view as well as from a mental point of view as well. Now, what message do you have for other parents who want to get their kids involved in fitness and general outdoor activities?
It's about, like I think it really has this platform to have a lot of challenges, a lot of activities where we are fortunate we can do it. Like, it's not just for the parents, for just kids to participate, it's about parents to participate. If you noticed in most of the Spartan or the Tough Mudder races, you would have a very less participant from the Indian subcontinent, right? Like, if you have to put certain nationalities in place, like, they'll just go with us. Like the number of Indians participating in those races are very few, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe some people don't know or they sort of frame thinking that it's quite challenging until they don't give the first attempt. So from my daughter, you know, from where my daughter goes to school, it's like we were able to tell people about it and then encourage a lot of them to come and join the skit events. Like we had a lot of participants in the Expo run, which was there only for the kids. Yeah, so it's about making the community aware, saying that your kids are in the safe place and they learn to be a tougher individual. Just don't let them in an enclosed environment.
Absolutely. I'm pretty much sure, you know, Joe DeCina would definitely like what you're saying, but the school principal would definitely not like saying, because you made them do the bow piece as well, right?
Yeah, and it's that what you want to do, right? You want to get people off the couch.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Now, Rajiv, lately, there's a lot of hybrid fitness picking up, and you have done two HYROX events. So can you tell our listeners, what do you particularly think of hybrid events?
I think, like, from what I told you in terms of, I'm looking into transforming into something where you have the best of everything. Like, you do your strength training, you have your heart endurance, like, you're running for endurance, you're running. And you have your mobility in. So that's something which fits with my goals and the age that I'm at the moment. It is something which I think a lot of people are looking into. And most of them can do the event. Like, if you're doing a Spartan Beast, you know, you're talking, depending on where the race is, or the race location is, your timings vary. You know, it's long endurance. But you know there are 8 stations. There are 8 kilometers of rally.
True.
You know, it's a specific, if you're focused on your training, you are able to achieve those things. You know, some people may be frightened, but when I talk to people who are a little bit hesitant on what's stuck there, you know, there may be some people who don't like running, so they don't want to be in that event. And there are some people who are scared of the stations like the sledge pull or sledge push.
I am definitely one of them, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, the moment you give it a try, and like I told you, it's not on, you know, going with your just strength. It's about the technique at the end of the day. And that's where, you know, like, I generally train alone, other than, you know, the communities that I'm in, like the OCR and PAR, whether it is extreme endurance, you know, building up your resilience for certain things. But this time I joined Spirit Levels.
You know, I think, you know, that is an absolute badass team, yeah.
Yeah, and... you know, like for me, generally, work-wise, Jan to say till April end is a very busy schedule kind of thing. My volume of training reduces. However, you know, by joining Spirit Level, who are best in their field, my volume was just apt to prepare me for HYROX. And like I told you, just with the HYROX training, and I just followed their instruction to the team. But put that.
Yeah.
Every plan, you know, followed the rest period, didn't go doing something extra. You know, I'm like a little bit of crazy. Before I had my operation done, I would do a burpee with around 20 plates each side on the barbell and do a burpee.
Oh man, that's brutal, yeah.
So I just stuck to you know, the plan, followed the instructions, and I could see the difference. Like, just training for HYROX, I could beat my PB for my half marathon. You know, so a lot of learning from them. Lot on what to do for rest. They were focused on what my schedules were, what was my sleeping pattern, which was, you know, roughly between 4 to 6 hours because of my work schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I managed to excel by what they told me to do.
Now, regarding sleep, you know, Rajiv, what I definitely recommend is George Crew, who's the founder of Spirit Level, his wife, Mrs. Crew. Definitely check out what she says regarding sleep, because she has put out an excellent video, and I did ask her to send me that video and I actually watched it. So regarding sleep, even what our listeners should do is definitely find out who Mrs. Crew is. She will definitely give you brilliant advice on sleep and even nutrition. She does put out some really tiny snippets on, you know, nutrition as well. So definitely great. And now, how long have you been doing with Spirit Level, Rajiv?
So I started somewhere like 3 months back.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
And you have done 2 HYROX events in Dubai World Trade Center, right?
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that the first one was a team event?
Yeah.
So how was that experience like, the doubles versus the solo one?
See, when you're doing the doubles, you still run the entire 8 kilometers together. But the thing which is different is about your... the stations, you share the stations, right? I could get a breather while doing the stations. What kept me going during the doubles event was I would do a PFT every week. You know?
Oh, okay.
And the focus would be so physical fitness test, which is again organized by HYROX, you know, just to see how you are improving. If not week, then definitely every alternate week would definitely be in my calendar. And I ended up, you know, starting with 26 minutes, you know, my first PFT, to getting my gold patch to 19 minutes something.
From 26 to 19, that's a massive improvement.
Yeah, a massive improvement. And that was the focus during doubles. And the only thing that got easy with the doubles was that you share the stage. When you do solo, it's all by yourself, right? Like you need more breathing time. You need more, you need to recover between your sets, but still keep your goal timings in. Now, for me this time, you know, though I had the training level in, and I spoke to you about the volume that I'm generally, when I'm preparing for this events, when you do a rucking event, it's more time-based. I would be in Shauka, I would do 2.5 hours under load, right? But that's adding to the volume. Now, when I had this busy schedule for HYROX training, my training would never went more than an hour.
Interesting.
So, and interestingly, I signed up for an event called as Highlander, which is just a week before HYROX.
Yeah, I mean, that is another brilliant event, you know, in Highlander. Yeah. Definitely want to talk to you about that as well.
So, now that included me to, you know, increase my volume drastically from the volume that I was training under. So, put my body under stress for me to perform. I'd say I gave my best, achieved nearby what I wanted to achieve. But it had, you know, Highlander had an element to play to just reduce the time a little bit.
Yeah, and that was, I believe, just a week before HYROX event, right?
Yeah, and that's what I would tell the listeners. Like, if you have an event, plan your events wisely. You know, either you're training for Highlander at that volume, you know, and then you sustain the volume so that it, you know, a change in the volume that you have during your training does not influence your results during the race day.
And how was the experience with Highlander, Raji? Because I think the location and the pictures and Instagram stories are absolutely wicked and beautiful, right?
So you get to interact with a lot of fellow hikers along with you. So, you know, for I would love the concept of Highlander, how they have, you know, like starting from the race prep, you know, how they informed about gear. They had, you know, a meeting in a store telling you exactly how the event is, what to expect, what gears you need to carry. Discounts at the store, you know, so that they ensure that you have the right gear. For people who couldn't attend, have another video, you know, session so that people are aware what to be. I was still wondering, what is this event about? What is Highlander? You know, so I was like, okay, now I have the gears. I have the right things with me in place. You carry your own tent. So again, you can say a mini, a goal kind of thing. You carry your own stuff, your backpack, which would weigh around 10 to 15 kilos, lighter the better. It could be a solo hike for you, or it could be a team hike, or you just make friends during this hike. For me, it is like, because I was preparing for HYROX, I wanted to be definitely the first one to reach the base for you.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So what I like about this event is the way it is organized. Absolutely fantastic. You know, starting with the prep, which we went off. Then the track. There's no way, even if you're doing a solo hike, would you get lost. You know, like very beautifully done. Every track measured. You know, the tracks are made for you to walk. You know, they have to work on it. It's not something they do months of preps to ensure that you understand the right track. You know, the weather, because I had few people compare the Highlander from the previous event of Highlander done in the same place, and they were like, the weather conditions were much more better this time. The time that they selected the event to happen. You know, the arrangements they had at the base points, just to the point, to perfection, I would put it that way.
And what feedback or advice would you like to give to Fadi, who is the managing director of Highlander in the Middle East?
As it is, continue to do what they do. You know, they, like I said, it was near perfection event. It's, you know, also they think about the environment, you know, so you carry your own waste kind of thing. But it's just the water stations, if they could just think about a little bit more, but in a way which is in line with their values. So I'm a person who are very inclined to the values that is associated with brands. So, for example, if it's Spartan, when you see, the strength, the courage which comes in your Trantec temple. So I believe in those values. Even if it's in my workplace, there is certain values that the workplace has, and I have it ingrained, not into just the culture of work, but also how I bring it into my personal life. This is again something that I believe in, in sustainable initiatives, and they're doing in the right way. Just giving you an example, like it's very beautifully done, but I just wish more water stations, specifically in Highlander, but with a different, with the element of environment coming into it. They had the, and you have this normal cans which you have, right? Like the 20 liter. Yeah, so they had those things where you could fill up, but a little bit more would be required in certain places. Then we had the Rack Marathon last week. So what they had is they had a number of water stations in place. Okay, but they had a 500 ml
Okay, so we
bottle.
had to open
Now,
it while running.
no, it's okay. Like now, imagine now when you're having the Spartan events, they have gone down to 250 ml. If you're running a half marathon, and most of them doing it, what are they going to do? They're going to take a sip, three sips, and they throw the rest of the bottle. Yeah, so you have
Excellent
less,
point.
you have more traction there. They're not consuming the water; they're wasting water. You run down the track, and then it's this 500 ml bottle was complete waste. So this the organizer, if you have more water stations, you reduce the amount of water in the bottle.
That is a very, very logical statement, and definitely, I think, race directors will definitely appreciate that feedback. Now, Rajiv, I'm going to put you on the spot. In 2025, if there is a Gogi 60 hours, Spartan World Championship, and HYROX World Championship, if you have to pick one, what would you pick?
Yeah, Agogi in UAE.
Yeah, all in UAE.
Yeah.
So you will pick Gogi,
If it's
yeah?
anybody, Agogi. Yeah, Agogi.
That is absolutely wicked, Rajiv. Now, finally, Rajiv, I have some few fun questions. Now, the first one is, what is your favorite genre of music?
Surprisingly, it just depends on what I would like to listen at that point. It depends on the mood. So there's no favorite, but suppose if I'm doing some workout and I'm doing a run, I do a lot of EDMs.
Okay.
Yeah,
Do you listen
so
to drum and bass as well, or?
I do. Right? So
Excellent wicket.
it's completely a mood-based kind of thing. I can go Sufi also.
Oh, nice. What about heavy metal?
I do at times, yeah.
That's absolutely wicked. Now, Rajiv, I have two surprise questions, and I'm going to read out word for word, and I want you to think who actually gave me this question, all right? I'm not going to tell you who actually gave me
Okay.
both these questions. Now, the first question is, the Rajiv I know is a machine and a beast having the hunger to keep going for more. Even if his body gives up, his mind doesn't. And this particular person wants to know what motivates you to be this breed apart and what keeps him going in difficult times.
I told you it's what you learn from life, right? It's and how you build up the mental resilience, because it's not just about you building up your physical strength, that you can build up over time. But a lot of people don't talk about the mental strength or mental resilience or mental well-being, which it's just a talk, but nothing really being done. And it's every individual has a different way of handling it. Some may be weak, they may be physically strong, but mentally to build that resilience takes time, just like how any of your physical activity would. I told you I had some challenging times. My focus was to stay around people who motivate you. Be influenced by people, be in a positive environment, and work towards having your mental resilience. And that's why I told you, like, if I would be in that kayak in the normal situation before 2018, I would have just found. So for people, no matter, don't make excuses. Work on your mental well-being. If you require help, call for help and surround yourself with beautiful people.
And Rajiv, going back to the kayak experience, I know of a couple of my friends and relatives who had similar experience, and what they actually decided that they don't want to do any such events. And
Yeah.
that's where your experience kicks in. You take it as a learning experience and you definitely move ahead. And that's because of that. you know, you're competing at a really, really high pace. Now, Rajiv, I have another question, which is a surprise question. And Rajiv, look, obstacle course race hybrid fitness is definitely gaining a lot of popularity. And last week, we also saw Tough Mudder Infinity. And that was a massive event. And you're always there at these events. And you're an absolute beast. But what I want to find out is, or what this particular person wants to find out is, do you have fans right now?
Maybe a couple of them.
Oh, so you do have a fan base?
Yeah, I do.
And do you have any?
So what I do is at my workplace, so it's about getting more people out of the couches, right? So I've started a lot of well-being initiatives within my organization itself to get people out. My workforce is around 4,000 employees, you know, so for them, I'm the motivation to, you know, get into fitness. So I would start off with that.
That is absolutely brilliant, Rajiv. And finally, as we wrap up this session, Rajiv, is there any final words you'd like to tell our listeners?
I think the important part is, like I told you, I would like to see more people coming out from, you know, like I know in other places, because UAE is a very diverse environment. In other countries, I see a lot of many participants, but I would like to see more from the subcontinent. You know, join these groups, you know, just give it an attempt or give it a start, and you will find your passion. So something that you like. It's not necessarily stunning, it's not obstacle course racing, but you will find your event. You know, there are a lot of events like people just joining for badminton, but once you play badminton, you know how taxing it is in your body. You will find the passion for what you like, but just give it a start.
Absolutely beautifully said. And how can listeners, Rajiv, get in touch with you? What is the best way in case they want to get in contact with you?
It's through my Instagram, and it's Rajiv Kumar.
Perfect. So what I'll do is, you know, in the show notes below, I'll definitely go ahead and, you know, mention your show notes. I'll go ahead and mention a couple of stories that you've said as well. So, you know, thank you so much, Rajiv, for doing this. Really, really appreciate it. And, you know, the episode, I was thinking, what should I keep the name of the episode? And what I'm thinking of keeping the episode's name is Redefining Limits, because you're an absolute beast. And more importantly, you're a fantastic human being as well. So thank you so much, Rajiv, for doing this session.
Thank you for having me on the show. I absolutely enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, but have a nice one.
Yeah, thanks.